Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
Welcome back to Foxborough, Mass. On Sunday, July 28th, the third day of Patriots training camp 2013, Eric Scalavino, Andy Hart, and Paul Perillo were just back from the practice fields a short time ago where the Patriots wrapped up their third practice, the first in full pads. And guys, I think we can safely say the intensity was turned up just a little bit. Not an enormous amount, but a little bit more with the full pads and some actual full speed, full contact hitting, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but not as much as I would have liked.
Not as much.
Yeah, you could tell it was the first time in pads. Though you just had there was the different noises that you hear. You hear the sled, the guys slamming into the sleds down in the far corner, and the crack of the pads. It was good to get a little
sounds
bit more
like
of
a Kenny
semblance.
Chesney song.
Well,
Boys of Fall. Only it's midsummer. And
yeah. Well, I'm just it's the podcast, and we're sort of giving our observations and painting a picture, and that's to me. The first half hour or so, there were all kinds of noises that I didn't hear the first 2 days.
Yep.
And, throughout the spring.
Felt like football.
Yeah, it was the first semblance of football. And I thought the intensity sort of ramped up as the practice wore on, strangely enough. I thought the last part of practice, the last, say, half hour or so, I thought was among the most physical.
And that's when we started to see our first glimpse of goal line situation. A lot more running plays. They did do quite a bit of passing today, as we thought maybe they would emphasize the run a little bit more, which they did a little bit, and we saw. But the goal line only lasted maybe, a half dozen plays or so, and then they went back to the opportunity portions and the field goals and airing out the ball again, which Tom Brady and the offense seem to be clicking a little bit when it comes to these new receivers. And Aaron Dobson, again, to me, is standing out with his performance.
Yeah, he continues to build from what I've seen. He hasn't had one of those days yet where you just say, he looks like a rookie.
He can't play.
He looks like
every time out there,
he's competitive. You know, he's making plays on the football. Today, it obviously took a little notch up with, press coverage and physical at the line of scrimmage, and to the point where Aqib Talib was raving pretty much about him and Kembrell Tompkins about their ability to get off the line, and said somebody asked him why that is. Is it speed, strength? He said, I don't know, you either have it or you don't. And that's certainly a good thing to hear from a number one corner who has made his living, certainly here, matching up against Andre Johnson
and Antoine
Bolden and stuff.
You
know, for him to praise, especially Tompkins, who I know, ESPN Boston has been very high on and has him on their roster projections. But you're talking about an undrafted guy on a team that's, looking to add playmakers, receivers. For a top corner to have that high praise about him after his first day of pads, I think is pretty impressive.
And what I thought was interesting, too, is when you bring up Talib. Talib had a really good day, I thought, today in some of those one-on-one matchups where it got a little bit more physical, and yet still he was raving about Dobson and Tompkins. So that's high praise from a guy who I thought was probably the best player in the field today, or in a small handful of the best players in the field today in Talib.
Not the best day for Danny Amendola. Would you guys agree? I mean, not a terrible day, but
he didn't make as many plays as he has the first couple of days. But he still got open once, really in the clear on a crossing route underneath, and was down the sideline with no one around him. A couple of times he got,
and that looks better, by the way. When he does that, we've seen Welker do that. All of a sudden, I don't know why he's Wes Welker, but
he's fast.
The guy who catches 120 passes is wide open. Amendola did that, and he has that speed to turn the corner. And I'm going to say add 5 yards to a play that Welker, would probably be 5 yards shorter just based on the speed and the angles of safeties. That's something to keep an eye on, because he will break free on some of those, and he'll see what he can do with them.
Yeah, and I thought that there was a couple of times that he had his hands on passes today that he didn't bring in. Once Talib, I think, stripped him. I think Arrington got him another time. There were plays that were drops. They were similar to the one in the 2011 AFC Championship game when, the big play that Sterling Moore made at the end on Lee Evans. Passes that should be caught that, depending on who you're rooting for, it was either a strip or a drop. And I think that Amendola was very upset with himself after those plays today. So you're right, Eric, not as good as he has been, but I don't want to make it sound like he had a bad day. I thought Talib was pretty competitive with him, and I thought Talib came out ahead of more of the one-on-one battles with him. which is impressive because I don't think Tlaib's going to be covering that kind of a guy.
No, probably not.
All that often. He's more on the outside, not necessarily inside.
Somebody who did have a bad day.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'll let you say it. You can be negative.
The Prince of Darkness.
Negativino. No,
Stephen Ridley had a rough go of it today. He had to take a couple of penalty laps for fumbling the ball. And it wasn't just your typical, oh, I muffed the handoff thing. I mean, he was getting hit. He was getting stripped. But he had his troubles holding on to the football. And that's something that's plagued him in the past. And we had hoped that by now, going into his third year, he was free of those ills, or at least on a regular basis. But today was not a stellar day for Stephen Ridley.
No, and the one on the goal line concerned me more. The first one, I think there was some sort of miscommunication on landmark in terms of the handoff or wrong, whatever. The timing was off, and then he kind of bobbled it and flung it up in the air high. The Wilfork recovery on a Ridley fumble was a goal line play off left guard tackle, and he just got stripped. And that's concerning because that can't happen. You know, everybody is going to have some sort of a problem at one time or another with a quarterback, but you're a guy with 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns. You're a guy where the offense in the passing game has some concerns this year. You need to be sure-handed in those situations. You simply cannot fumble on the goal line. You just can't do it. So I think that compounds the earlier mistake, and it's just a very bad day for him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything to add to that. That's the number one concern with Ridley. I think we all have seen the talent. We think he is a very good running back. Ball security has occasionally been an issue, and it certainly was today.
I'm curious as to what you guys have seen that maybe, other than Tlaib today, on defense, either personnel-wise or scheme-wise, that maybe has jumped out at you, and you said, you know, this is something I'm noticing, a trend or whatever, good or bad, on defense.
Well, personnel-wise, I'm still sort of intrigued by how they're deploying the defensive backs. Today, it looked like Arrington was back on the outside opposite Tlaib for some reps. He would then bump inside, and Dennard would come on in nickel situations. Interestingly, I continue to find it funny that Dante Hightower comes off in some nickel situations, and Spikes stays on. Mm. You know, theoretically, you'd say Hightower is the versatile third-down guy. More he can do. And then also the safeties. You know, we saw at one period of time where there were two different drills going on in the separate fields, and you had McCourty and Tavon Wilson with the quote-unquote first defense with corners and everybody else on the first unit. And on the other field, it was Adrian Wilson and Steve Gregory playing the safety positions with primarily second-unit type players. So I think that's going to be interesting to watch. It seems like Tlaib and McCourty you can pencil in, and now it's the other two defensive backs. Maybe that'll be combos. Maybe that'll be game plan related. But it looks like that battle for playing time in the back end with those guys is going to be something that may go on into the season.
Yeah, and who knows how much of this has to do with Dennard's situation. Maybe this is just the Patriots simply trying to protect themselves in preparation of dealing potentially with his absence if he gets suspended or whatever. And on the same kind of level, different reasoning, but Andy and I were talking a lot about Dan Conley's situation on the offensive line. He doesn't appear to have been cleared for contact yet, and he was not taking part in the reps today. Marcus Cannon was at right guard. We've seen Vollmer and Conley out with Cannon and Will Svitek in on that right side occasionally. Today it was all Cannon, and Conley was actually on a different field from the two ones that they normally practice on, working out and you know, probably just doing some cardio work and whatnot, staying in shape. Clearly, he's not cleared for contact. That's my view of this right now, and he's not even standing with the offense when the offense was doing the team periods today.
And the curious thing about that is we've seen since day one, Devin McCourty has been wearing a red no-contact jersey. And you would say, well, okay, they haven't had pads, so they haven't really had contact. Well, today they had full pads. Mm-hmm. He still had the red jersey, and he was taking part in the contact exercises and periods.
I think it's just
a
reminder.
And Dan Connolly doesn't have the red jersey. But is sort of being treated like a player.
Certainly
with a red jersey.
Being held back physically, no question. And so I would read nothing into Cannon getting all the reps right now. It's not a fair fight until Conley's out there competing. The differentiation or even the fact that Conley's not even on a list. You'd think he could have started camp on a list, and he didn't. I don't know what to make of that other than they feel like he's right there and he's ready to go, and it's going to be a relatively short period. He didn't do anything basically in the spring. But I think the McCourty red jersey is just sort of a reminder to, you know, maybe tight ends coming over the middle or whatever. Just, he's awful. Jake Ballard, don't lay this guy out. He's an important player who's still coming back from a little something.
And Andy brought up all the various lists we should add. Yes. Bill Belichick, before practice today, was asked about Armin Armstead, who is on NFI with the I standing for illness, a non-football illness list, was asked if it is something to do with the pre-existing heart problem that he had in college or something different, and Belichick said it was something different. Obviously did not elaborate on that, so... Mm-hmm.
But at least that rules out what we feared. We talked about on the other podcast.
But I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Well, and I think that's open to interpretation. Yeah. So we know it's, according to Bill, it's something different. We don't know what it is. And we have still, he was still not on the practice field and nowhere to be found. Same six guys did not practice as has so far. And again, we saw... Edelman.
We saw Edelman,
Nick McDonald, and Gronkowski.
Late in practice, Gronk made another appearance.
Anybody else that we see in shorts?
Those are the only three that I saw.
So we haven't seen Corey Grissom, Armin Armstead, and whoever the sixth guy is.
Mark Harrison.
Whoever the sixth guy is.
We did see Troy Brown in shorts.
We saw Troy Brown and Robert Duvall.
I'm more interested in Troy Brown because generally when players are here in shorts, the alumni, they stay between the fields and don't go on it with the wide receivers when they're doing drills. And I thought that was interesting that Troy Brown spent a lot of time on the field next to the line of receivers going through drills. I don't know if he's helping out, coaching points.
Yeah, special privileges,
Yeah, well, I just haven't seen that too much. Every once in a I think Carl Banks did that when he was here either last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Was sort of with the linebacker drills.
Yep.
And I think
we
it's always
interesting. We didn't see Ty Law do that.
Pimping his trampoline
park. I was going to say he was too busy pimping his business.
But I just, something to keep an eye on, and hopefully our cameraman got it. He spent some time with Danny Amendola, the old 80 and the new 80, and maybe sharing his thoughts. I joked that I'd put him at least third on the depth chart if he just joined the line and started taking reps.
I tweeted it and said, you can take that whatever way you want about the lack of depth.
I'm giving Dobson the benefit of the doubt. I'll put him ahead of him and Amendola ahead of him, and then Troy comes in third.
Any final notes from the post-practice interview session with anybody that we talked to today? Anything jump out at you?
A lot of guys talking today. Mankins.
Been a theme of Talib. So
oh, yeah.
Hightower.
PR department doing a phenomenal job getting players to the media.
Young,
well done,
young
PR
wide
department.
Receivers talking a little bit today too. Tompkins, Aiken.
Yep.
A lot of guys talking.
I would say Mike, a shy guy when it comes to
shy guy. Well, he's kind of he's smart. He's been around a little bit. Don't forget, he has some experience on the roster, and he knows how things are done here. So he knows to keep his mouth shut and his eyes and ears open.
Beyond the Talib comments about the young receivers, I thought the most interesting thing was Mankins did a lot of talking about the running game. From last year, and was very proud of the fact they were a top five rushing unit. I think they were second in the league in attempts, some of those things, but he said we did take advantage of some teams, and then there were other games against good defenses where we could have done a better job, and that's a focus this year is being able to run against the good defenses, not just take advantage of the weaker ones. So
I talked to him a little bit at the end, and he's excited about how good he feels physically. Said it's been a couple of years since he's coming.
He didn't look so good today. He looks hot and bothered.
Well, he said that too.
He did look hot and bothered today.
He was down on one knee, and we've seen that with him frequently in camp. He's a guy that the weather, the heat, the fluids, something tends to wear down him. There was that one year where it looked like he was going to literally pass out.
Yeah, and they had to cart him off.
Right.
Yeah,
but today it was just one knee.
And today we should say it was
very
humid.
Cooler,
a little bit cooler than yesterday. It was overcast for most of the practice, but still a little bit humid. So it's understandable that a guy like that.
And it's the first day in pads. For a 300-pound lineman getting used to that.
A little bit more
there's
accurate.
Some restriction on your breathing. There's a little extra weight to carry. So
you'll
be fine.
So that was day three here. And tomorrow there will be a practice. It'll be at night. It's the season ticket holder only practice, though.
You don't have a ticket, don't come.
Right. And there won't be a podcast, I don't think, because it's going to just not be convenient for our schedules at that point. But we will, on Tuesday, have PFW in progress.
That's honesty and advertising.
At 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock, because we have an afternoon practice on
Tuesday.
Move
that up an hour.
And tomorrow we also have the Hall of Fame induction for Teddy Bruschi and Gil Santos. So we'll have all that coverage on Patriots.com, but we can talk about it with you next on Tuesday for PFW in progress and then the post-practice training camp podcast. So until then, for Paul, for Andy, I'm Eric. We'll see you then.
Downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.